Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
You can start firing your farming text now, because this week we learned from a report from the Environmental Protection Agency that Ireland is set to reduce its total greenhouse gas emissions by only 29% by 2030, compared with the legally binding target of 51%. Now, according to that report, if nothing changes in Irish agriculture and no new policies or farm practices are implemented, greenhouse gas emissions from the sector would fall by just 1% by 2030. Meanwhile, yesterday, the government signed off on plans to reduce a new biogas strategy, which will include a 40 million euro grant scheme for biogas developers. So what's the state of play for our climate ambitions and our farming industry? So can we move from climate laggards in this sector to climate legends? To discuss this, I'm joined by the president of the Irish Farmers Association, Francie Gorman, and by Sive O'Neill, who's senior climate advisor to Friends of the Earth Ireland. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. Can I ask, congratulate you, you're the first time in studio with us, Francie, on your election to president of the IFA. But my God, do you have to hit the ground running, because the EPA report this week is saying that even in agriculture, if you implement all of the policies, you're still going to fall short in terms of targets.
Yeah, the target was very, very challenging initially, Cormac. And look, it's great to be here. Like laggards to legends, maybe that's a bit overstating it. Certainly there's an awful lot going on farm that doesn't, it's not out there. Maybe that's our fault that we don't publicise it. We've been hit with a target of reducing our emissions by 25%. Mm. Certainly there's an absolute pathway there to be able to do it by 18%.
There isn't. The EPA looked at all of the, what's going on farms, and they say we'll only hit 18%. And that's 7% short of the legally binding target.
And that's,
do you accept that?
Yeah, well, that's what I said. There's a pathway there to hitting it, to reach an 18%. And the challenge we have then is to get the rest of the way. Certainly there's diversification measures there that are not included in that. There's data required to come in and be able to verify, but we believe if when that data comes in, there's another 1.5 million tons of carbon that can be reduced. So,
well, just to be absolutely clear, what wasn't included in the EPA report wasn't included, they say, because there was no pathway to show that it could be done.
The
big question for farmers now that I can ask you is, how are you going to do more to achieve climate action?
Well, how we're going to do it, you can do it through, there's feed additives can be used, we're using low emission slurry spreading equipment. All these measures need to be rolled out by all farmers. Certainly, if you look at, it's not just farmers have a responsibility here. I believe the government are slowing up our ability to reach our climate change targets, because they're not on the pitch. You look at planning regulations, you look at the supports that are due to farmers through the various schemes that we have, they're not running in an efficient way. And if we're going to reach our targets, we need greater support to ensure that farmers are incentivised to do it. Because if you want to reach a target, or you want to get to a place where we all need to be, it should be incentivised and not regulated.
Okay, but how would changing planning regulations help farmers achieve climate targets?
Simply, if you want to put up slurry storage capacity in the morning, you have to apply for planning permission. And planning permission, there's a backlog there. You could be 12 to 18 months doing it. The biomethane strategy is another example. They rolled it out with an ambition to have, 200 AD plants built around the country.
Yeah, we'll come to that in just a second.
Planning feeds into that, to be fair. Planning feeds into that. If we can't get those biomethane plants built and we don't have the funding put in place, we're going to be handcuffed in terms of meeting our targets.
That's a fair point, and we'll come to the AD plants in just a second. When I ask you, how will you make up the 25%? You talk about feeding additives and low emission slurry spreading equipment. That's not at the races, really, to make up.
And I spent a day on a beef farm out in Mead today that are working with Chagas Grange in measuring emissions on beef animals. We can breed lower methane emitting animals. But that's going to take time, and maybe we won't reach our 25% target.
We have to. It's legally binding.
It's legally binding, but maybe that target shouldn't have been set in the first place.
No, it was lenient, an awful lot of people would say at the time.
I wouldn't agree.
What about reducing the national
herd? I wouldn't agree that it was lenient, because as farmers, if we have to carry the cost of 25%, of reducing our emissions by 25%, we can't pass that cost on to any other sector.
But everybody but else is in the same boat.
They are, but if you're in the energy sector or you're in the transport sector, you can pass the cost of meeting your targets onto the consumer that gets onto the Dart in the morning, yeah. onto the farmer that buys his diesel. So I don't believe that the 25% was lenient.
What about the reducing
It's there
herd
now, and our ambition is to try and reach it.
I'll come to Simon in just a second, but reducing herd numbers, is that on the table?
It shouldn't be on the table. We have 500,000 cattle less in the country than when we joined the European Union in 1973. And essentially, over that period of time, our numbers have been stable. And what we have done at farm level in terms of producing food in an efficient manner is off the charts.
But the dairy herd is off the charts since quotas were lifted.
In fairness, Cormac, when quotas were lifted, farmers were incentivised to go down a certain way. It's only in the last 2 years that this has really become a big, big story. And if you go back and look at how farmers have always taken on advice, the best farmers took on the best advice to reach whatever targets were set. And what we need, and this point, it has to be acknowledged and it has to be made. We need funding, we need to be incentivised, and we need time. And we need proper advice to help us reach those targets. And look, we had a water quality launch with Chagas for Better Water in Ashtown yesterday. Mm. And the industry is coming together from processor, farmer, Chagas. We need the government to lead a national effort on this to try and make sure that we meet our targets. And well, to be fair,
let me bring in Simon O'Neill here.
I don't believe the government are doing that.
51551. The thread that you could run through all of what Francie is saying is effort and fairness. They're making a huge effort. And maybe it's not that the whole system isn't fair for the green transition for farmers. Would you accept that to make up the 25%?
I think fairness is at the crux of this. I agree. There's 138,000 small farmers in Ireland. They are business owners. They are doing their best. They're responding to incentives. About 7,000 farmers are in derogation. And those are the farmers making a decent income out of dairying. And there's about 60,000 farmers, Cormac, with incomes of less than €5,000 per annum. So there's a huge inequality piece to this that rarely gets spotlighted. And I think, it's important for me as an environmentalist to say that we as a movement are committed to a people-centred just transition, and that includes a just transition for farmers.
So fair enough. Maybe they won't make up the 25%.
Oh, well, I wouldn't go quite so far as to say that would be acceptable.
So the reason is
because agriculture contributes a third of Ireland's total greenhouse gas emissions, but that's not the full story. It's also, unfortunately, a leading driver of biodiversity loss, ammonia emissions and water pollution. So you can pick any environmental indicator you like. And it's unfortunately a bad news story for the agricultural sector, and all farmers are getting tarnished with that brush.
What has to happen?
Well, the big problem area is really in the dairy sector. We've seen an increase in dairy numbers, as you pointed out, since the abolition of the quota, and that is the main driver of a lot of these problems.
Hands off, says Francie.
And the reality is that the EPA, when it was looking at the emissions projections for 2030, actually did a sensitivity analysis, because they had to assume that there was no significant effort to be made in reducing the impact of dairying, and that the numbers in the dairy sector would continue to increase, and that is the main issue facing agriculture at the moment. The fact that policies are pointing in one direction and targets are taking
another
direction.
Are you saying to achieve the target of 25%, there has to be a reduction in the dairy number?
Well, the agricultural sector is really constrained in terms of there isn't a technical fix. The feed additives that Francie has mentioned are just, still at trial stage. They won't be available to roll out. But even feed additives won't fix everything.
So
reducing nitrogen won't fix everything.
Okay, so the equation is they have to reduce
feed
numbers. Is that it?
You really are seeing the kind of limits to what the Irish territorial environment can actually produce. The sector needs to acknowledge that. The processors need to acknowledge it. And the IFA needs to acknowledge
it. And maybe as president of the IFA, you should acknowledge it, Francie.
Well, in terms of emissions for our 7,000 dairy farmers or 17,000 dairy farmers, for me the issue is that we produce our milk more sustainably than anywhere else. So if we don't produce that milk here, in emission terms, it's going to be produced somewhere else with that will do greater damage to the planet.
I'll clarify it by saying
that for me, maybe it's not emissions, But water quality is the issue that we need to address.
So, let's I respond to it.
And we are doing that.
The issue about carbon leakage comes up as a defence against the idea that we should have constraints and limits on production in Ireland. The reality is that we cannot supply the world with milk and butter. It just isn't possible physically, environmentally to do that without great cost to the Irish environment, our water quality and biodiversity.
Yeah, but isn't he right though?
And we, in turn, are importing 4 out of 5 of the calories that we consume in Ireland. Yeah. Unless you live on a diet of milk and butter, which most people
wouldn't. But let's talk about the diet of milk and butter for a second, because they do produce, the dairy farmers in Ireland, superb stuff, superb product.
Nobody's arguing that.
Yeah.
Nobody's arguing
okay,
that.
Okay, so if they reduce their numbers, some other country will do it far worse for the climate.
So I've been in this studio a number of times debating this point many times. And the reality is that the way that emission targets are set at international level means that every country has a quota, if you like, and it's legally binding as we commit to doing this under the Paris Agreement. Every country has to do its fair share. And we have gone down the road of investing in an export-led industry at great cost to the environment. And we have forced farmers into a particular type of model that is now coming back to bite them. And we have flagged this for 10 years in the environmental sector. We fought it at the time.
We have forced farmers.
Well, I'll tell you, Stop Climate Chaos and the Irish government has gone down the road of intensifying dairy production for export markets,
not for
Irish consumption.
Francie, the answer to that is take up your fight with whatever political party. I think Simon Coveney was Minister for Agriculture at the time when he maybe encouraged farmers to invest in dairy. But take that fight up with them.
And
the reality of climate targets,
right.
The reality of climate targets are still there.
They are, and that's the point I made, that 25% is very, very challenging. We're going to meet our climate change targets probably in a way that that other sectors won't. I'm not saying that we're not on track. We're not on track, but no sector's on track. And as far as I can see, no country's on track. And I still go back to the point that what we do here in this country, and I mean, there's 17,000 dairy farmers. They're probably in their milk and parlours at this stage in a bank holiday weekend. They'll be working Saturday and Sunday. And they followed best advice and best policy. And to me, it was right.
But it was wrong.
There's a billion people go to bed every night this planet hungry. And wherever food can be produced most efficiently,
you won't be feeding
it should
them,
be. We'll feed 40 million of them.
But that's,
it's a fair achievement out of a country of 5 million.
You can't pollute the planet doing it.
But we're not, though.
You are.
We're not.
A third of the greenhouse gas emissions emitted from Ireland come from agriculture.
Sure. Look, the planet's a planet. We're one part of it. And when emissions go up in the sky, they're judging what to do to the planet. And if we produce...
And they come from farmers, that's the point.
But if we produce... A third of them. If we produce our milk more efficiently than somewhere else... We should be allowed to do it. And the point I made about water quality, and I think there's a concerted effort from industry, and it needs to be led by government, in a way that we can achieve greater water quality. And we're going to do that. For me, it's not about emissions. Even though we have to try and meet our targets, it's more about water quality. And to be fair, if we do achieve, even if we only achieved an 18% reduction in our emissions, that's a huge, significant achievement.
I doubt very few other
sectors will meet their percentage reduction in emissions.
You were nodding in agreement when Francie said that.
Many sectors have very significant challenges. That is definitely true. But I think it's important to remember that the target for agriculture is substantially less. It's half the target, for example, than the transport sector. But I would just like to say that it's important to acknowledge that farmers are jumping through hoops and implementing measures. There's no doubt about that, and with great enthusiasm. But the measures themselves are inadequate. They're not actually addressing the fundamental problems that we have. And so that's not a failure of farmers. That's a failure of policy. It's a failure of implementation, and it's a failure of enforcement.
Okay.
So I think we need to look at, again, I don't understand why the dairy exit scheme was dropped. And cynically, you know, one has to wonder if the government is just hoping that farmers will retire and that numbers will
go
fall.
Down that way, naturally.
I think that would be a very cynical assumption. And the reality is that the dairy industry, the processors, want to keep production up to its max.
Okay.
They'll max out their profits as a result, but that will not work for Irish farming and it won't work for Ireland's environment.
Look, I didn't even get a chance to come back to the biomethane strategy and the 40 million and if it's enough or not. We'll come back to it a certain day.
It's not enough.
Well, there you have it in a nutshell. I could have guessed that as a response. Francie Gorman, IFA President, thank you very much indeed. And Sive O'Neill, Senior Climate Advisor to Friends of the Earth Ireland and lectures part-time in climate policy at DCU as well. 51551.